Does the word freedom describe your Christian life? This is Carl Kosar from Walla Walla University School of Theology, and welcome to Good Word, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we continue our series of lessons focusing on Paul's letter to the Galatians. And to help us explore this important subject, I have invited two of my colleagues to join me once again in the discussion, Dr. Paul Dibdahl and Dr. Dave Thomas, who are both professors here in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Today we're looking at the issue of freedom, and it's quite an interesting issue, one that, of course, resonates with us as a country, emphasizing the importance of freedom and democracy. In fact, the Apostle Paul, of all the authors in the New Testament, is the one who uses this word freedom more frequently than any other person in the New Testament. And because of that, he's often called the Apostle of Liberty. Now, of course, the real question is that he uses this word freedom, but what does freedom mean from a biblical sense? And does that contrast perhaps with our definitions of freedom today? Gentlemen, any thoughts or ideas on that?
Well, whenever I hear the word freedom, there are two things that come to mind. First of all, the story of, the American Revolution that brought freedom. But I also think of an experience as a child. I was living in an African country that was about to get its freedom, its independence. And I remember that some people who were not well informed came to the place where we lived with a suitcase. And they said they had come to get their freedom. Hmm. And I always wondered, in their minds, freedom was the possessions and the things that people who were richer than they had. There were some unscrupulous politicians who promised them, all kinds of funny stuff. But when I think of freedom, freedom is not an unbridled thing. That's license. Freedom, I think, is the liberty to exercise your volition within certain prescribed parameters. I think that's what freedom is.
So not freedom simply in the sense just to do whatever I want to do.
I don't think so.
Which I think that is often the way sometimes we interpret the phrase.
Yeah, because in our country we have freedom under the law, which I think is true, is that freedom that is unbounded is very destructive to human beings, I think, individually and collectively.
Just in the context in which Paul is writing, he's aware of this society where there are people that are free,
yes,
and then there are a lot of slaves.
Yeah.
And I think when he uses this word and when his audience hears it, they're not thinking of autonomous, do whatever I want. This is and just because you were a free person in Paul's day didn't mean then that you were not subject to any laws,
law, yeah, yeah,
or any rules. It didn't mean that at all.
You were subject to greater privilege, though.
Yes, it makes me think of the passage in 1 Corinthians 7 where Paul is talking to the Christians there in Corinth, and he says, each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it. But then, parenthetically, he says, but if you gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freedman of the Lord.
Yeah.
So here you have Paul saying that you can be a slave in human terms, under a master, but just because you're a slave by position, you can still be a free person.
That's right.
So freedom is not simply do whatever I want to do, but it's a state of heart, a state of being that only comes with something that God gives us.
And see, I would like to make a point that I do believe that true freedom is found and maintained only in a walk with God. In this sense, is that Paul says elsewhere that there are many things that enslave and captivate us. The devil does by trickery and by deceit. The world, meaning all of the societal constructs and fads that come our way rather thoughtlessly. And he says even our own biology. There are things in our lives that would are there, biological drives, instinctive drives that are there to keep us alive and prospering. But those things get out of balance and they entrap us. And it is only in Christ where we have the freedom in the sense that you can follow Christ for the whole of your life, and you will still be at liberty to change your mind, because he will preserve that in you. If you follow the ways of the world or of sin, you will lose that freedom, and you will lose the ability to free yourself. If you ever tried to help somebody overcome a habit that was bad for them, you understand that. Is that those things would look like freedom to us as human beings actually bind us.
Enslave,
And it is only in Christ that we are free to live our lives with two real choices.
How do you think that, I mean, Paul, of course, here is dealing with legalistic Galatians, right?
Yeah.
How does legalism impact on our freedom? Or, and conversely, how does kind of a licentious lifestyle impact on our freedom?
I'll say a word about legalism at the risk of getting in trouble, that I find oftentimes that legalism causes us to be looking at the mistakes of others and being very judgmental.
Hmm.
See, legalists don't tend to look at themselves and say, well, Carl, you didn't do this, or Paul, you didn't do that. See, the legalism very quickly becomes outwardly focused, and people who are legalistic become the judge and the jury and sometimes the executioner of those who differ from them.
So in a sense, it takes your eyes off Christ.
Absolutely.
It frees you.
It takes it off yourself. You can't look at yourself in legalistic terms and be happy, because we all fail in that regard.
Makes you more judgmental of others in the process.
Absolutely.
Because you need to somehow make yourself feel better by pushing others down.
Right.
And how about licentiousness? I mean, does that impact our freedom? I think it does, in the sense, of course, that...
Yeah, I think it enslaves you.
It enslaves us to our passions still.
Yeah.
So either way, we become slaves.
Yeah.
Either way. Now, it's interesting that, because Paul goes on here and he says in verse 13, he says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do you not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh."
Yeah, I like that verse.
Now, why does that verse resonate with you?
Well, I think it links to what we mentioned a little while ago, that if you are left to your own, to follow your own interests and your own urges, you will, in all probability, mess up in life. Because we as human beings do well when we have a reference point outside ourselves. If you only consult your own desires and your own interests and your own passions, you're going to be in a lot of trouble pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That when you orient yourself, and it doesn't have to be God necessarily, but if you orient yourself to a goal, a job, an education, those are, in a particular sense, they will prevent you from being enslaved by whatever comes along. I think that if you orient yourself to God, then you add an eternal component to that. And a very good one. So,
and that's to me where, once again, it goes back to legalism, because that enslaves you to a checklist mentality where, where knowing that you have security in Christ, I mean, it frees you to live a life that glorifies Him without always looking over your shoulder to make sure that, okay, did I do that right? Did I say enough? I mean, it can be very liberating.
Yeah.
But to use it then as a pretext to say, well, I can start cutting some corners. Paul says that's not what real freedom is about.
Yeah.
And I think our human nature is we tend to look for those shortcuts.
Yeah.
I also find it interesting here that Paul says, he says, "I testify again to every man who wants to accept circumcision that he's obligated to keep the whole law." I like that, because Paul's saying, now, if you really want to do it by your behavior,
you can't go halfway on that.
No, yeah. So he makes a wound and then rubs salt in it, right?
He does. Because, you see, we like to cherry pick, right? We like to pick the ones we want to obey, and we make that the standard. But Paul says you can't cherry pick.
Yeah.
But what I find interesting is that he contrasts this. He says that, you know, you'd be obligated to keep the whole law, but then he says the person who walks in the Spirit by love, actually, he says, that the whole law, he says, is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So to me, once again, this is not a dichotomy between keeping the commandments or not keeping the commandments. It's whether the fullness of what the commandments are all about are really lived out in our lives.
Yeah, by legalistic means, you mean.
Right. You can't legalistically, but through the power of the Spirit, what the law is all about, the ultimate fullness of the law, can be fulfilled by the Spirit in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to go back to what Jesus said in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount, where people who want to interpret literally fall short of really the full dimensions of what the law actually is looking for.
And isn't that the difference that love makes, though? Because when you are reacting out of love, it's a willing compliance that you are very willing, even though it might be a rather stringent stipulation, you take it on with joy because of love. Whereas if there was no love, it would be very onerous. You would be mad and you'd be...
Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people make it sound like sometimes that love is kind of the easy way out.
No, the call to love is the most challenging call that could be made. The command to love other people is the most difficult of all.
Yeah, it's easy to say, "Give me a list. I can take food to them. I can wash the car.
I'll go on pilgrimage. I'll pay this amount of money. I'll pray this many times a day. Those are things that might be tough, but I can do those. Love other people. Now that's...
But love itself is very costly. I mean, it will tie you down. It will. You will incur obligations if you love.
And that's why, to me, I do think in the end that love is not the so-called easy way out. It's really a higher calling, because it calls not just to give a little, but it calls to give all that we have.
Yeah.
And I think in the end, that is what the message of Paul's message of freedom is all about, a call to love other people with a fullness and a wholeness and not just turn religion into a list of rules. Well, gentlemen, again, thank you for your time. You know, the Christians in Galatia had begun replacing love and freedom with legalism and slavery. Instead of serving each other in love, they had turned on each other like ravenous animals. Unfortunately, the mistake of the Galatians has continued to replicate itself like a virus down through the centuries. In Paul's appeal to the Galatians to experience God's freedom and love anew, may we also hear Christ's appeal to us to experience that same in our own lives. Well, as we continue to consider Paul's letter to the Galatians this quarter, we have a very special offer to you, our listeners. It's a brand new book I've written especially for the study. It's called Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church. Each chapter is full of spiritual insights and stories that really help to explain Paul's letter in much more detail than we can here in our radio program, and also to show its relevance for our lives today. This week's chapter is entitled Freedom in Christ. We'll be glad to send you a copy of this book this week. We're simply asking for a donation of $20 or more when you request this insightful book. I'm sure you'll find it well worth it, and your gift will support the radio ministry of Good Word. To request your copy of Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church, call us this week at 509-527-2194. The number again is 509-527-2194, or go online to wallawalla.edu/goodword, or just send us an email to goodword@wallawalla.edu. We do ask for a donation of $20 when you request Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church. Remember, our past and present programs also are available to download or for listening online. You can learn more about that at our webpage, wallawalla.edu/goodword. Thank you again for listening to today's program. And please join us again next week as we continue to explore Galatians and the difference that God wants this letter to make in our lives today. Until then, for Good Word, I'm Carl Cosart.
Listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.